Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ben Hill Trill, appreciate you listening. He says Dukes and Bell, Ebba Cady, 6.5 sacks and the most by a Falcon. In 384 snaps, the Texans' Will Anderson had 7 in 590 snaps. That's a guy that's going deep into the numbers. And Mike, his point is, what if they feel like they've got enough in the building?
Well, if Ebba Cady continues his trajectory, Zach Harrison is the guy that followed Chase Young at Ohio State. We said it, 3 sacks at the end of the season, as much as guys that were drafted in the middle of round 1 last year. So, and remember, this Rams team that Raheem Morris was part of, they drafted a tackle and an edge rusher combined for 17.5 sacks last year for the Rams. So, at least if Ra's involved with that, hopefully he's got an eye for that talent in the mid-rounds, too.
We're going to hear from Terry Fontenot, guys, who talked about the draft process, all right, today. He also talked about Raheem was not at the press conference, which means the decision-making chain is different than it previously was, okay? He also talks about the door isn't closed on Calais Campbell, which is something Mike has talked about. So we're going to let you hear all of this because we're approaching the draft. And by the way, this is normal. Okay, our general manager normally speaks before the draft, and right, then they'll talk when it's all said and done. They may talk after the first pick, but usually it's, you know, when things are done. And after the first round pick, Mike, him and the head coach usually address the media. Nevertheless, we're going to be up there Friday at the Ticketmaster Studios doing our show. We will follow, obviously, Andy and Randy. They'll be up there as well. But lots of stuff going on in the afternoon. And we will have that eighth overall pick as of right now.
A couple guys saying Penix would be a silly pick. One guy says he'll be older than Joe Lewis when he fought Rocky Marciano by the time he gets on the field behind Kirk Cousins.
Well, one guy hit me up earlier and he says, Tukes, come on. He says Arthur Blank, God bless him, may not be around to see Penix on the field.
Oh, God, don't say that.
And I know, but listen. You know what? I do think this is part of this. Arthur Blank understands, Mike, that there has to be an enthusiasm about this team.
Exactly.
He understands that.
That's why, I mean, he signed off on the Kirk Cousins thing. Now, guys, if the Falcons were so concerned about Kirk
Cousins. And
that's
Michael Penix.
If you were so concerned about the viability physically of a guy you just gave 100 guaranteed, there's more money in that contract. We're talking about the guaranteed portion. Then you would have tried to make a better play to outbid the Bucs for Baker Mayfield. Because there's no concern about Baker Mayfield's health, and he's much younger. But they went with Cousins. They see him as the best quarterback available, Achilles injury or not. And you don't put that kind of investment in there just to bring up another quarterback in there when you got to stack the deck, get as many weapons as possible. Roma Dunze makes little sense, but it makes a hell of a lot more sense than Michael Penix.
Yeah, I will say this, too. The slotted salaries now make it a lot easier for teams to do this kind of thing. You know, when you don't have to bring a guy in, Mike, and have him be Sam Bradford and you're paying him $50 million off the jump, That helps the situation. All right, let me hear some of this Terry Fontenot. And if you're going Dukesonville, what the hell are you guys talking about? What if the Falcons draft a quarterback at 8 and that guy is Michael Penix? You want to say they're going to do something you don't expect? You're going to say they're going to do something nobody wants or I wouldn't like? That is what we've been discussing, and that is why we've been talking about it with you. All right, poll questions up at Dukes and Bell 929.
Hey, one of our loyal listeners, see what Mr. Yo just said?
No, what'd he say?
He goes, there was a guy working as a consultant, an analyst named Zach Robinson with the Chiefs. And that's when they went and got a guy named Patrick Mahomes when they had Alex Smith.
Yeah.
And obviously there was not a lot of didn't make a lot of sense to people from the outside other than John Gruden when he did his quarterback camp about how good Mahomes was going to be in the next level.
Yeah. The Bears general manager, Ryan Poles, was also with the Chiefs, Mike. Mm. He was head of scouting for them. So you put all of that together in the brain power that saw what Patrick Mahomes could be. Mm. I think part of that is like, okay, this is why everybody says he knows what he sees in Caleb Williams, which is why he's made the comparisons to Mahomes. People don't realize he was with the Chiefs for a long time and saw that way earlier than everybody else. Either way.
And I think he means Pulse. I can't find anything linking Zach Robinson to the Chiefs.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, I do. I think you're right. Good stuff, though, man. We appreciate all the tweets. Let me hear Terry Fontenot talking about how the draft process has changed over the last few years with us picking at 8. This is our general manager.
It has tweaked. It really, you know, we look at it every year in regards to the process and how we're going to operate. And regardless of the results, we're always looking at the process and how we can improve it, right? We take everything with a humble approach and look at how we can improve as we step away from things. And with this, the cool thing this year is we got a lot of new coaches that have done things some different ways, particularly with Raheem and Jimmy and Zach being in LA, a lot of respect for Les and Sean and that group and how they operate up there. And so there were some unique things that they liked in the process that we've said, okay, well, this makes sense because what we're always trying to do is be as efficient as possible, right? We're going to have alignment and we're going to be together as we move forward, but we want to be efficient with everyone and make sure we're doing the right things moving forward. So there are some things that we adapted in terms of the way we meet, the way we grade, just some small tweaks to improve in some areas. And, yeah, you continue to learn and adapt as you move forward. But I would say this year there were some changes, particularly having coaches come from some other places.
Look, they got Super Bowl resumes. Say what you want about Raheem. He went out and became a defensive coordinator, and they won a Super Bowl. And he's been with Sean McVay. Zach has been in that room, I said this, for the last 5 years. There's nothing wrong with saying, we did it this way, why don't we tweak it? And I think, Mike, for me, this is growth with Terry Fontenot. Fontenot now has he's got all the power. He could easily say, nope, we're doing it this way, this is how we're going to do it. Be open to new ideas. And I like the fact that he's owning that, hey, we've changed a few of these processes, and we grade a little bit differently now.
Okay, does that mean we're not taking a guy we don't need?
Don't know that.
I mean, look, I know that.
Don't know that.
You know, Drake London, the room was lukewarm. I know the fan base was, because the fans follow this as much. Like, I know, yes, guys are paid big money, but if every personnel guy and every GM knew what he was doing, nobody would ever get fired in this league. You know, I like Terry. I don't know. I still don't know how much input Arthur Smith had, Carl, in some of those processes about how they drafted these guys. But if you're going for the best athlete available, it could be a wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't feel, again, it's pretty simple. If you don't feel that the edge rush is there, then you don't take edge rush. No one debates that. If they don't like Dallas Turner, Carl, look, we've said this a million times, all the analysts have Dallas Turner because they go, Falcons have no edge rush. Dallas Turner's the best guy available.
It's easy.
That's it. Doesn't mean that's going to happen. Because if anything like that ever happened, Penei Sewell would have been the guy you would have taken with a fourth overall pick back in 21.
Yeah, he's turned out to be a hell of a lineman, too. More on Terry Fontenot and what he had to say today. Frank Schwab is dialed us up from Yahoo Sports. He covers the NFL. We want to get some more insight. Frank, we're a couple of days away. What are you hearing? Where does this thing really take a turn, in your opinion, especially in the first round on Thursday? Is it the Giants maybe taking a quarterback there? If that's not a surprise, is it us doing something? Where does this thing take a turn?
You know, I think the first three picks are almost set now. I mean, based on the reporting and everything you hear, everything you read, it's just in some way it's going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels at number 2, and Drake May at number 3. Now, whether number 3 is the Patriots or the Vikings or whoever, we'll see. But those three players off the board. I really think the Cardinals are picking Marvin Harrison. I know they're going to listen, but I just don't know that I don't know. You, to me, he's a gold jacket talent. I think Marvin Harrison's awesome. I just think he's one of the best receivers I've ever seen coming out of college. And I don't pass on that kind of guy. I know Danvers is good. I know Odunze is good. But I just don't pass on Marvin Harrison. I don't think the Cardinals will either. And I think it's where, to answer your question, it's number five. Because if we have those number, those four first four picks sketched out, I have no idea what Jim Harbaugh is going to do. I mean, he's been talking about the value of offensive linemen all offseason, right? So could they take a Joe Alt? Do you really pass on a Malik Nabers if you just traded away Keenan Allen and cut Mike Williams? Right. I don't know. You want to get Justin Herbert some help. Or there's going to be teams calling up for J.J. McCarthy. I mean, I don't necessarily buy this notion that the Vikings are just happy at number 11 and we'll take Bo Nix and we don't care. I think that's a smokescreen, even though, you know, my coworker Charles Robinson wrote that today, that they're fine taking Bo Nix. I think that they're trying to get that out there. That they don't necessarily want Bo Nix at 11, but, you know, maybe they're just trying to ease the pain of the fan base if that does happen. Who knows? But right. I think it's all about number five. Whatever the Chargers do at number five kind of has a trickle down for the rest of the top 10, at least.
Frank Schwab's with us, guys, from Yahoo Sports covering the NFL. We just were having a passionate discussion about the rumors, because whether we're throwing it out there or whoever's getting it is Michael Penix. Where does Michael Penix go?
I don't know. He's really interesting to me. I'm surprised he's kind of jumped back up. I thought Bo Nix would be ahead of him. It doesn't seem like that's the case anymore. I don't know. I don't know who goes first between Penix and Nix. But I like a lot about Michael Penix. The medicals are, but I think that everything else kind of checks a box for me. Good arm strength. He throws it well. He's played well, obviously. We saw him in Washington last year lead that very, very good Huskies team. I don't know where he goes. I mean, the fact is this, that all the quarterbacks who need, or all the teams who need quarterbacks, have been kind of quiet. Last few hours we've heard stuff, again, about the Vikings being fine with Bo Nix or whatever. Haven't heard much about the Broncos. Haven't heard anything about the Raiders. I don't know what the Giants are going to do. Even a team like Seattle, Seattle's sitting there at 16. Like, why wouldn't they draft a quarterback? You only really have Geno for one more year, and Geno wasn't great last year. They have to be at least an option for Nix or for Penix. So I don't know. It's been so quiet on the quarterback front. I don't know where Penix goes. I do know this, that the over-under, BetMGM, I dabble in the sports betting realm too. The over-under for quarterbacks in the first round is 4.5. And if it goes under 4.5, I'd be shocked. I just would be blown away.
5, I believe, is going to go in the first round, and I'm with you. I mean, I think it will be more than 4. We're talking with Frank Schwab. He is with Yahoo Sports, covers the NFL. Tell me your thoughts on Dallas Turner. We spent a lot of time in this city and on this show about Edge. I am not necessarily convinced that he is a difference maker. That is me. I think the pure pass rusher in this draft is Leiatu Latu. What do you think?
Yeah, I do too. I think that I fully agree with everything you said. I was listening when I was waiting to come on, and, you know, talking about don't just draft a pass rusher because you need a pass rusher. That's a way to make a draft bust. Like, that's how you do it. Like, that is the blueprint on how do you blow the 8th pick of the draft. It's reaching on a guy when you have a need. And I know the Falcons have had that need for years and years and years. And look, Dallas Turner's fine. Like, he's not bad by any means. There's a good reason that he's, you know, in play for the 8th pick of the draft. Like, it's not, you're not just drafting just a guy off the street. Like he's perfectly fine. But I don't think he's Will Anderson. I don't think he's in that level. He's definitely not a T.J. Watt type of guy right away. I mean, he'll help for sure. And the Falcons need something. I get that. But, boy, I saw something where it was a mock draft. I was reading it a couple days ago or whatever. You know, you just – not that it means anything, but somebody had, like, I think it was Dallas Turner over Malik Nabers, and Malik Nabers goes 9. And I was like, why on earth would you do that? Like, I don't care how many receivers the Falcons have. I'm just like, whatever. That guy, I'm not passing him. We'll figure it out later, and paying Darnell Mooney $14 million a year to be the fourth receiver. I don't care. I'm not passing on Malik Nabers at number 8 if he falls there. And I do agree with you, by the way, on Latu being kind of the one guy who could be special. I think the reason that he's scary at number 8 is just the medicals. I mean, he had to retire for a year, and we don't know that necessarily that's never going to crop up again. It might not. I hope it doesn't. I hope he goes on to have a 15-year career in the NFL, and it is great, of course. But you just don't know. I mean, that's a lot of risk for the 8th pick. But I think if you're the Falcons, and you are just dead set on a pass rusher, I think he's the guy because I swing big. Why not? I think that guy could be the Will Anderson type out of this draft. It's just the medicals that are very scary with him.
Latu.
So if you like him, draft him. Don't try to trade back and risk it and just go get him. Frank Schwab's with us, guys, from Yahoo Sports. If they think one of the corners is better, who's your number one corner? Is it Terrion Arnold? You like Quinion Mitchell? We've talked about Cooper DeJean. Who's your guy?
I think it's Mitchell, but I think eighth pick would be a reach, to be honest. I just – this is a weird draft. And obviously it's weird because it's going to set a record for most offensive players. I mean, the most offensive players in the first round is 19. I think this could have 24. Would you start doing the math on who the best players in this draft are? You're like, wow, it's like we just talked about, five quarterbacks at least. I think it could be six. I think all six could make the first round. You're talking about six receivers could be in the first round at least. I've seen 12 offensive linemen mock drafted by our own guy, Nate Tice, who does our mock drafts. I think he had 12 offensive linemen in his last mock draft. You start doing the math, and you're like, and obviously Brock Bowers is going to be in there too. You start doing the math, you're like, it could be 20, 22 to 24 offensive players in the first round. I just don't think the defensive class is good. I just, there's some intriguing players. Mitchell's not a bad player. Dallas Turner's not a bad player. Jared Verse, not a bad player. But I just don't think these guys excite anybody like the offensive players do. So, I mean, when we're talking about eight, I think the Falcons' options are maybe trade back, which I don't know that you can find somebody to trade up, to be honest. It's going to depend on what's really there. If you're just like, we're not in the Malik Nabers business, somebody will be, and they give you a little something. They're not going to break the bank to get Malik Nabers at eight, but they'll give you something. Or if you stay with the pick, I think you just take best player available at any position. Or, I mean, maybe you just talk yourself into a pass rusher, but I don't see any of these cornerbacks being worth it. I mean, Brock Bowers is kind of off the table because of Pitts. I just think it's a very narrow kind of landing spot the Falcons have because you need some stuff, but there's only going to be a certain amount of guys really, to me anyway, still worth the eighth pick of the draft.
I agree. I totally agree. That's why you just don't set your mind on one thing. Hey, we appreciate you, Frank, stopping by. Draft's going to be very interesting. We'll get a chance to chop it up with you when it's all said and done here in a few weeks. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun one.
It is. And that's why we're talking about it with you guys. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by Excellence Building Successful Partnerships.
Only thing we didn't cover with Frank is the offensive line, which is, you know, the one thing. If they've always said they believe in this O-line, that they believe in McGarry, but you could also, that the ultimate zigzag, Carl, is take a lineman. You know, moving back to one of the offensive linemen that you could plug in right now.
All right, coming up. He is projected to be a second, maybe a third rounder. Texas A&M wide receiver return specialist Anaya Smith, as we continue to talk to guys who are going to get picked up in this draft next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're trying to chop it up and talk to all the guys that are going to get a look in the National Football League, and our next guest is one of them.
He played wide receiver. He also was a return specialist for Texas A&M. Anai Smith joining us. 58 balls, 795 yards, two touchdowns. Also had 22 punt returns, 485 yards and a touchdown. And Anais, man, appreciate you jumping on. Talk about this experience as you continue to prepare for the NFL draft just a few days away.
Man, well, first off, I just want to say thank you for having me on. Definitely, truly an honor and a blessing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, this experience has been wild. You know, going through the combine, Senior Bowl, things like that was definitely a different experience for me just because I watched my brother go through, like, the Senior Bowl process, but the whole combine was a first for the family. So that was a little different and definitely an experience that I always dreamed of doing, but then actually doing it was just a little surreal. Unfortunately, though, I wasn't able to necessarily do the combine because I had a stress fracture in my left shin, so that had medically – that uncleared me to go ahead and do the combine and whatnot. But at the same time, man, just the whole experience was fun. The whole training, getting ready for to run the 40 and things like that was definitely a wild experience, man. But so it was right now, nowadays, I did my pro day and I did pretty well. I ended up getting surgery for that and the day after.
Oh, wow.
So, man, lately I've just been doing rehab.
So you ran and then got the surgery. Okay, yeah. Man. Well, that shows, I'd say this, man, that shows some toughness to those scouts and the personnel guys.
Yes, sir. For sure. For sure.
Anais, as we talk about, you know, your time at Texas A&M, Mike and I spent a lot of time talking about what was going on with the offense, and you were still able to be productive, even though I think, you know, I'm going to say you guys underachieved offensively, and obviously Jimbo, you know, got fired over it. But talk about what you did in that offense, because you can play various positions, right? I mean, obviously they can put you out wide. You can play the slot. Talk about your versatility.
Man, yes, sir, for sure. Well, to go out to what you said, I definitely do feel like we kind of underachieved in a lot of ways. But, man, I've been playing all types of positions basically my whole life. I can remember playing quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end, defensive back, safety, linebacker, corner. I was also the team's punter at one point. I also held the ball for the kicker and whatnot. So I always played a lot of different positions. I never just looked at myself as one specific position, man. I just look at myself as a football player, you know what I'm saying? I like to get the job done, and wherever I fit on the field, then I'm going to go ahead and do what I got to do to get that job accomplished. Unfortunately, though, we did not accomplish a lot of the things that we said we wanted to at Texas A&M, man. So, honestly, I had came in as a receiver. When I first got there, I ended up switching over to running back, which was low-key the plan, not the, like, final plan or whatnot, but I did have some expectations from Jimbo that I was going to go ahead and play a little bit of running back, get mismatches and whatnot from the backfield, whether that was running option routes or just lining me up with a safety, motioning me out wide, whatever the case was, you know. So I definitely have some experience playing running back and then ended up, you know, playing a little bit of running back my sophomore year, a little bit of my junior year. And with all of that, man, like you said, I was a specialist returner or specialist guy type. So I ended up doing some kick returns, some punt returns and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, I just look back at all the time or all the positions that I was playing in high school and just the amount of love that I had for the game and how much I had wanted to win. And that's really what I go back on, just wanting to win. And I'll do whatever it takes to go ahead and get the job done for sure.
It's Anaya Smith, guys, former Texas A&M Aggie. Carl used to work with Cordell Stewart. That was the first slash. So basically, Anaya, you don't have to play in the NFL. You made all that money off name, image, likeness down here at College Station, right?
Nah, I definitely wish to still play for the NFL. You know, I don't feel like don't get me wrong, I'm truly blessed, you know.
Right.
Definitely made a little bit of ends and whatnot, but definitely nothing compared to what I'll be able to make in the NFL. Nothing compared to it. So.
Who do you is there a wide receiver you watch that you kind of mimic that you maybe like a lot in the league currently, or somebody that maybe you've even gotten to know and worked out with?
Shoes, man. Right now, if you look at the league right now, you can look at a guy like Deebo Samuel and the versatility he has to be able to go in the backfield, get like jet sweeps, running between the tackles, stretches, and also being able to have the ability to go out wide and run real great routes, which he does. I definitely feel like I have that type of play style, and I feel like that's what a lot of teams are starting to look at me to do in the league and stuff like that, and then also being able to play with special teams and whatnot. But honestly, I like to study a lot of my film on guys like Doug Baldwin or like Steve Smith. You know, those guys were definitely ballers in their time, and they weren't always the biggest receivers, you know, but they did what they had to do with their ability. And I just feel like I'm a sleeper in a way when it comes to my size and stuff like that. But I definitely feel like, man, God has definitely blessed me with great work ethic, number one, and then also just having, I guess you could say, the athletic ability to be able to go do the things with my size, you know, as people try to say I'm undersized or whatever. But, yeah, man, I just go out there and ball, and I try to model my game, I guess you could say, after like guys like Steve Smith and Doug Baldwin.
Anaiah Smith is with us, guys. By the way, projected anywhere in the fourth round in this draft, so we'll be watching for you on Saturday and say, I heard that guy on the radio. And by the way, man, who are some of the tougher defensive backs that you went up against in the SEC?
Man, I can name some guys. Starting off, I always say Patrick Surtain was definitely probably my hardest competition that I had to go up against playing against Alabama. You know, it was always one of those games where you're going to bring your A game or whatever, but now for me, it was just another game. But Patrick Surtain definitely gave me some competition. You can look at guys like, well, he's technically not in the SEC, but Cameron Kitchens is a great defensive back out of Miami.
Yeah.
We had 2 years going up against each other. Definitely had a great game, both, like a great competitive game, both games. So, man, I can honestly keep going. Terrion Arnold is in his draft this year.
Yeah.
Definitely a great athlete. And it's been a lot of guys, for sure.
All right, Anaiah, before we let you go, I want to get your assessment because you're there. Every year we hear that A&M is going to take this jump.
Mm.
Jimbo got there, and everybody thought they were going to take this jump. You've been in that program. You were productive again. But what's the deal, man? Like what's going on? Like, what's your assessment? You know, you said that you felt like you underachieved. I think most of the country felt that way, and Jimbo's on a beach somewhere because of it.
Yeah, man, for sure. Honestly, I just feel like the discipline level is not there. You know, we had a lot of distractions after we had won the Orange Bowl and whatnot. NIL became a thing, and a lot of the young guys was trying to get recruited to just get paid or things like that, you know. And then once it was time for them or for everybody to go ahead and lock in on a certain mission, it just seemed like that discipline wasn't there to be able to get the job done, especially when it came to finishing games. You know, we were always be in a game, and then it just seemed like we weren't never able to finish it. So really just being able to create a culture and having that discipline and really just setting a standard to the guys, and having all the guys being able to buy into the process, and instead of just worrying about themselves and what they feel and what they care about, just think about team mindset. And I feel like that's something that we had lacked.
Anaiah, I couldn't have said it better, man. I mean, we're here in Atlanta, and obviously Georgia is on top of the college football world. It's what Kirby's been able to do,
right,
and people are trying to emulate it. What you just said as a player, all of that stuff matters. So I just wanted to get your opinion about A&M since you were there. But, man, it's on to the next, and it is the NFL for you. We wish you nothing but the best, brother, and thank you so much for jumping on with us.
Yes, sir, for sure. Appreciate y'all for having me, man, and God bless.
You too. Anaiah, good luck, man. We'll talk soon. Anaiah Smith.
Yeah, man, impressive dude, man. And, again, we're going with these guys. And you got the interview. Nice job, Carl, because love to see these guys, especially when we're watching the draft. And hey, I heard that guy on Dukes and Bell. But how about that? Everything which critics of NIL say, and if you can find the balance between that super athlete and the want-to, who comes with the NIL stuff, Kirby's trying to navigate that minefield. It blew up. Nick Saban talked about it. They bought all those players. Jimbo's out of a job. It basically just gave you the nutshell of the worst-case scenario of NIL in a big program.
Yeah. And look, he was there. That was great.
That's his own words, man.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, man, No Man is on the way. We're going to get back into your thoughts about what the Falcons are going to do. Tori McElhaney is going to join us. She's with the AtlantaFalcons.com. She's a writer for AtlantaFalcons.com. She's going to join us next hour coming up. Lots more to get to, guys. It's Dukes and Bell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour is brought to you by Status Truck and Trailer Repair, driven by excellence, building successful partnerships. We're going to talk about the Braves. Ronald Acuña. Acuña for life. Making history in the first inning in the win last night over the Marlins, stealing his 190th career base. That sets a new Braves record. Rafael Falcao, guys, remember him?
Yeah.
Previously held the record at 189. So, Acuña doing what Acuña does, and the Braves continue to roll, Mike.
Meanwhile, David O'Brien, who covers for The Athletic, the Bravos, had an interesting stat. Carl and I were just looking at this during the break. Just real quick, Chris, Matt Olson is ice cold. The fact the Braves got the best record in the NL, they're only a half game behind the Indians for the best record in the show, but 1-for-23 his past 7, 8-for-48 with no homers, 19 strikeouts his past 13, and his OPS dropped nearly 400. I mean, it's bad. So to be that good with a guy in the heart of your lineup struggling like that is just a testament to how good the rest of the squad is.
What's Kelnick doing?
Kelnick?
Yeah, Kelnick.
I think Kelnick is the heart and soul of this ball club. And I think Chris would admit that now, finally.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering what Kelnick's doing. That's all. Yeah, listen, Matt Olson, here's what's crazy. You haven't even noticed. The team has been winning in spite of the fact that he's not been performing right, like we are used to him hitting. And Mike Darnold and Ozuna, they've been carrying us.
Right. Makes you even more upset that you didn't see the little D in the game on Sunday night. Only because it's national TV. I want to see the Braves win everything, you know, especially in that case. But, you know, Travis Darnold just picks up where he left off, hitting the left field pole last night.
Hold on. 326 for Kelnick. Hey, let's get to Yeah Man, No Ball. Man.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man. He's the former MVP of his high school football team.
Not really.
From New Jersey.
The Cavs are here.
And gives rapid-fire questions. Here's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Chris Thomas.
Turtle, what's going on today, man?
Not to go down this rabbit hole again, but here we go. Carl, because as Arthur Smith liked to say, that's a convenient narrative. Jared Kelnick has 0 home runs and 3 RBIs.
Yeah. Bump. All I know is he's playing some great, slick left field. Carl, obviously,
his glove is incredible.
Glove is great.
Bump.
And, again, Oren, I don't know who's that audio that is. But
glove is great. I mean, he's hitting when he needs to. He's on base. Bump. Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
I guess I'm just resulting a little bit too much when it comes to Jared Kelnick. Yeah, sorry, guys.
So say it. For those who don't follow the drift, that's a Landry Fields-ism, by the way. And there's many of them.
All right. So last night, heavy lies the crown for the king. The Los Angeles Lakers lost a heartbreaker. They were up by 20.
Cheated.
The Nuggets were playing awful.
Officials.
They came back on a Jamal Murray game winner. But there was a bit of controversy as D'Lo was slapped in the noggin.
You know it.
Came right down on his face, Carl. Everybody saw it.
Everybody, except the officials and the replay.
In Secaucus, New Jersey.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then LeBron had some interesting things to say after the game.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest.
Yep.
I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. Makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't ask you a question, but that is like.
He's right.
No, man, look, you know, I used to get on LeBron for, you know, flopping and belly aching, but look, he's totally right. And look, the refs were abysmal. We're not even talking about what happened to Madison Square Garden. If you're, and like, it's hard to feel empathy for any Sixers fans out there. But yeah, they were a brutal last night, and this is when it really matters. And to LeBron's point, look, if they've called games like this during the regular season, I think most people would say, all right, let them play. But they were literally getting real physical all over the place, and the Lakers couldn't get any love. Especially, you know, if you think about it, it really came down to a 2-point game.
Yeah, it did. And I know you're saying it sounds like he's complaining about the officials, and he is.
And he stormed out.
But yeah, this is more about the rest of the series. Watch what happens.
Right.
They
blew a 20-point lead.
They did. And you can't debate that. But I don't think they get every call. But I will say this. Any questionable calls, you will now be watching with more scrutiny. And that was the goal of that comment, because he's absolutely right.
Anthony Davis also was asked about what happened. He goes, oh, yeah, Murray made a shot. Boom. Dropped the mic.
I'm out.
Looked like you got screened on that line. Yeah. Jamal Murray made a shot.
Yeah.
And once I stopped seeing someone's kids walk, give me a reporter. Ah!
Yeah. Yeah.
So both of the Lakers stars last night throwing a bit of a temper tantrum.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, Turtle. I mean, they're just stating facts. Here's the deal, though. Mike's right. You had a 20-point lead on the road. You blew this. Like, to me, that's the bigger moment in this game, when you allowed Denver to get back into it. And then you just knew, right? Didn't you feel like if you stayed up and watched this game, you're like,
right,
once they got close, Joker was going to find a way. I didn't expect Murray to be the guy. Right. I thought Joker
was going
to
get it. You got to have a Robin to your Batman.
You got to have that dude. Yeah. So,
but I thought the Knicks, and then, by the way, the Knicks, they were playing rugby on the hardwood at the Garden, and the refs were like, let him go.
Yeah.
It's like a little schoolyard fight. I was like, I couldn't believe it. And if you didn't see it, unless you want to address it, Chris, I don't want to steal your segment, Nick Nurse is like, I need a timeout.
Yeah.
And he's looking right at the ref while his players got the ball in the ground, while like three Knicks are trying to pull it out of his hand.
Nah, it was terrible. And here's the thing. Those scenarios play out every night in the NBA. Every night. Where a ref is looking right at a coach and he knows clock, possession, you guys need a timeout. I'm actually going to give it to you before you even call it, because I know that's what you're thinking.
Right.
And it was almost, to Mike's point, like the ref was like.
The best part of that was, if you look at that scrum, you see Kyle Lowry dive on the ground and it looks like a teammate pushes him. But Kyle fakes a foul, and he flies back like 4 feet on the ground by himself.
Right.
Nobody hit him.
Like, nobody hit him. He just throws himself up in the air. Like, what are you doing, Kyle?
Like it was Fight Club when Ed Norton is fighting himself.
He just throws himself up in the air.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
No.
Right. Punches himself. Bad calls in both games last night. We'll see what happens tonight. But here's the deal. Playoffs have been interesting. At least they've been interesting here the first couple of days of the playoffs.
Speaking of which, we're going to play this sound real quick from Joel Embiid. Now, I need to set up the visual. If you haven't seen this, he last night in the post-game locker room was giving a message of positivity, which I'll let you hear. But he is literally talking with his head in his hands. So not exactly the juxtaposition of confidence and leadership that produces this message.
Around. So, you know, we're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
He literally was saying that while holding his head in
his
hands.
You were literally looking at the top of his head. I saw that on NBA TV last night.
Barkley and them gave him so much grief last night. Like, you're a leader, dude. You're a leader. And guys, look at you in the locker room right now. And you got your head down making these statements right now, dude. Who's going to want to follow that?
We're going to win.
We're going to win this.
Can you speak to the microphone, sir?
We're going to win this.
We're going to win. We're a better team.
I like Embiid only because I don't like him because he's a Philly guy. I mean, he's playing with the Sixers. Right. We don't like anything Philly. I like Embiid because he's a character, right? He can be funny and engaging. That last night, I agree with Chuck and those guys, man. Like, if you're going to say it with your chest, right? Stand up and be like, look, we're going to win this series. It was almost like, I don't believe you, Joel. When you're doing this and you're hiding your face. But I know he was frustrated. And again, hey, they also had a lead, Turtle. They also had a chance to make that thing 1-1.
They were up 5 with 25 seconds left.
And blew it! So, two games last night where teams had their opportunities and then didn't finish.
All right, let's have some fun with this one to close it out. I'm just going to read this headline. ESPN's Rich Cimini, quote, "The Jets could be looking at an organizational reset as soon as the end of 2024 if the season does not go well."
Okay.
Yeah, man, no man. Will this go down as one of the worst acquisitions in NFL history?
Well, you could argue they still got a fighting chance, Carl. They got to score some points, and Aaron Rodgers is just the guy to do it. Unless, well, he's not running for vice president, so he's okay. He can focus on the pigskin.
Can I say this? I don't want Brock Bowers to go there. I don't. Because it's going to be a crapshoot.
Who said it yesterday? It'll derail his career.
Well, I don't remember, but all I know is the Jets, if they are going to go Brock, I don't want Brock to go there. That's going to be a crap show.
Oh, it was Connor. It was our boy, Connor Riley.
Was it?
Yeah. Said if he goes to the Jets, it's going to be career suicide.
And again, he could end up there. But to answer your question, Robert Saleh starts the season on the hot seat. I don't care what Aaron is saying. I don't care. Robert Saleh starts the season on the hot seat. They better get off to a great start. Mike, if they are 1-4 or something crazy, he gone. I don't think they wait around with knowing Aaron. How long is Aaron going to be there, by the way? Can anybody tell me how long Aaron Rodgers is going to play?
I still think it's just this year.
Yeah. Everybody keeps talking about he'll be there for 4 or 5 years. I'm like, what?
Maybe they should draft Michael Penix.
I think the Jets should take Michael Penix.
Well, I was going to say Brock Bowers could go there, and then the following year they take Arch Manning or Carson Beck, and then they're fine.
What if we take Brock Bowers, by the way?
Best
athlete available.
Do I have an issue with it? No. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't.
No.
No. No.
Carl.
I mean, don't. Because I don't think if that happens, there's a plan to move somebody.
Right.
If that happens,
because this is also,
everybody's not staying.
Yeah. And historically now, I will say this to Fontenot's credit, they don't necessarily just, as a lock, they're going to pick up fifth-year options. But at some point this year, they're going to decide if they're going to pick up the fifth year for Pitts.
But what is Pitts' value right now? It's nothing.
You can't set it. It's difficult. Is it the first year where you had the yardage without the touchdowns?
Okay, so
who's going to trade you even
don't
a third
say, Don't say that. Don't say that. Zach Wilson just got traded.
For a sixth-round pick swap.
But you can trade him.
Oh, Carl.
You can trade him. Don't act like he can't trade him. Zach Wilson, who everybody in this room thought had zero value, just got traded.
It's a sixth-rounder, though. It's a crap pick. We're going to run 13 personnel, Carl. We're going to trade Drake London, too. It's going to be all tight ends all the time.
All tight ends.
You're like Dan Reeves. You said, we used to call it Dan Reeves Tight End City back in the old days.
You know what? I'm invoking Squidbilly here. This is my segment. I'm cutting this nonsense off at the pass or in Hit by Music.
By the way, have you informed the assistant brand manager we are out of bottled water on the night floor?
I'm giving him till I'm giving him till COB. Close the business. And then he's getting an angry text.
All right, man.
Whoa. I was just laughing. I thought that was all fun and jokes. We're out of water?
Yeah, we're out of water.
Come on, Squid.
They got the rhymes on the wall. Like, if the jug, something about the jug, go get a new jug or something like that.
We got
stop making rhymes to get us water.
7 empty giant water bottles in the hallway right now.
Is this
Evel Knievel's going to jump these
Billy's
water bottles?
Watch?
It is.
Yes.
This is his responsibility, is it not?
What about the fluorescent light over here?
About to turn into Mad Max in the Thunderdome of a Fury Road over here.
When we come back.
Come with me if you want to live.
You're not going to like it, but we got to talk about it, and we will next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.